Evening. Hope everyone brought their notebooks and thinking caps this evening. We'd like to continue on in 2 Timothy this evening, and I think this is my fourth message through 2 Timothy. We will read from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 6 to 13. So 2 Timothy 2. We'll just read 6 to 13 for now. The husbandman that labors, or the hardworking farmer, must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let's look to the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that access into your presence is through him and him alone, that at the end of the world he offered himself a sacrifice once for all. Lord, supernaturally do a mighty work this evening through your word. Give us faith to believe it, that it may work in us, to change us, to mold us into who you'd have us to be like the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for him this evening, and we just pray for a mighty work to be done, Lord. Ask your help in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So as we review just a little bit, we notice that this is Paul's letter, personal letter to Timothy, his dearly beloved son, in the faith. In chapter 1, Paul exhorts Timothy to stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. And in verse 8 of chapter 1, to be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner. And verse 13, to hold fast the form of sound words. The words that the Apostle Paul would teach Timothy, to hold them fast, to make them his own. And in chapter 2, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to be empowered in that favor that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This is the context here, is to hold fast the form of sound words, and to the things that Timothy has received, he's charged to pass it on to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And this is not going to be an easy task. This is going to be in a time where people are departing from the faith. This was going to be in the last days. And how much more closer are we to the soon return of the Lord Jesus? This was written about 2,000 years ago, and it was the last days then. And Paul would say to Timothy that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, in chapter 3. So remember that when Gary Stairs was here, shared on 2 Timothy, he said to he said, it was like Paul was saying to Timothy, cheer up, Timothy, things are only going to get worse. And so Timothy was being instructed to pass these things on in a time where people, like in chapter 1, are going to turn away from the truth. Philegius and Hermogenes, they were turning away from Paul. And in chapter 2, verse 17, Himeas and Philetus, they erred in the truth. And there's going to be, we're living in the times where people err in the truth. And in chapter 3, people resist the truth as people, as like Jannes and Jambres in chapter 3. They're going to turn away. They're going to err in the truth, resist the truth. And in chapter 4, people are going to turn their ears away from the truth. So we're living in the last days. It's difficult times. And so in verse 3, Paul says to Timothy, you therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to endure suffering, to persevere as a soldier of Jesus Christ. In verse 4, it says, no man that wars entangles himself in the affairs of this life, but that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So we've thought about our perseverance in the last days and our having our priorities right, and that we live to please him. And in verse 5, like the athlete striving for mastery, had to be self-disciplined. He is not crowned unless he strive lawfully, and to live a Christian life according to the rules and God's commands. So now we move on to verse 6, and we briefly touched on it last week. We skimmed the surface, but we're going to go a little bit in depth in verse 6 here. It says, the husbandman that labors must first be partaker of the fruits. So this is a hardworking farmer. Timothy was to look for in faithful men that are like soldiers, athletes, and farmers. And he himself was to strive to be like these. And the emphasis here is the hardworking farmer. The farmer that labors, the toil, must first be partaker of the fruits. And there's a view with reward here. There's a reward at the end of our labors. So regarding this verse, we're going to be looking at sowing as it relates to our spiritual life, sowing as it relates to our service, and sowing as it relates to our stewardship. And in the Bible, the Bible touches on all three of these things. So we'll look at sowing as it relates to our spiritual life. We'll go to Galatians chapter 6. Sowing in our spiritual life. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Whatsoever a man sows, so he shall also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So it reminds me of thinking about what are we feeding on? What do these eyes see? What do our eyes see? What are we feeding on? What do we listen to? And where do we go? We're reminded that if we're sowing to the Spirit, we are not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We're not sowing to the flesh if we're sowing to the Spirit. We're going to read another scripture here, just in Romans 6, verses 20, 21, and 22. It says, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." And being a servant of sin is like sowing to the flesh. Being a servant of sin is indulging in the flesh and in the mind, the lusts of the flesh and lusts of in the mind. And so what are we indulging in? As a believer, can you still be a servant of sin? Can you, as a believer, can you indulge in the lust of the flesh and of the mind? We all know the answer is yes. We can make the choice to sow to the flesh as believers. And the instruction here is not to sow to the flesh, but sow to the Spirit. So when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. It's like before I was a believer, I didn't care about doing the right thing at all. All I cared about is fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind. But now, being born again, being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a war. There's a war within. There's a spiritual warfare. There's a spiritual battle. And I'm either fulfilling the lust of the flesh or walking in the Spirit. And I'm never doing what I please, because if I walk in the Spirit and sowing to the Spirit, my flesh is disappointed. My flesh hurts. But if I sow to the flesh, then my spirit is grieved. I quench the Spirit. I grieve the Spirit of God. We don't want that, because when we walk according to the flesh, we reap corruption and death, and all the consequences that goes with it. We all know that's a miserable life as a believer, to indulge in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So it says, "What fruit had you in those things which you are now ashamed?" There is no fruit in those things which I am now ashamed. You know, the Christian life is the life to be lived. It's the abundant life. And I'd never go back to my old way of life, because the fruit from those things which I'm now ashamed is death and corruption. The end of those things is death. Verse 22, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God." Becoming servants to God. When we serve God, we sow to the Spirit. "You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." And I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Why? Why sow to the Spirit? Why put to death the deeds of the flesh? The end is near. The Lord is coming back soon. The day of the Lord, which starts with the rapture, the Lord is going to take away his church, and then there's going to be tribulation in the world. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the world when the church is removed. And could be here at any moment. It's going to come like a thief in the night, as we'll read. And are we sowing to the flesh or to the Spirit? Are we ready for the Lord's return? I constantly asking myself, if the Lord came back now, would I be ashamed at what I'm doing? Throughout the day, as we do things. Jesus' story. In Matthew 24, 43, Jesus says, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known at in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour you think not the Son of Man comes. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler of his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Blessed is the servant that is sowing to the Spirit when the Lord comes." Jesus said in verse 47, "Truly I say to you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, 'My Lord delays in his coming,' and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken, sowing to the flesh, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looks not for him, and in that hour he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, regarding the end times and the Lord's soon return, it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Let us not sleep. Let us not sow to the flesh, if I may put that in there, as do others. But let us watch. Let us give strict attention to and be cautious to be careful of what we're feeding ourselves. Let us watch and be sober. Sowing as it relates to our spiritual life. And from Galatians 6. And then sowing as it relates to our service. Remember, the hardworking farmer must first be partaker of the fruits. Sowing as it relates to our service. And this might be a little lesson on evangelism here. But in Psalm 126, we'll go to Psalm 126 here and read a couple verses. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I have a point here that it's not just sowing the word of God. It's not just sharing God's word with people. It's the emphasis here is on how we do it. He says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps. And I'd like to bring another verse into this. Is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Paul would say to the church, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. He doesn't just say, you know that we exhorted you and charged you and comforted you. The emphasis here is on how we did these things. And we know that from that letter that he said he imparted not only the word of God, but their own souls. Because they were dear to him, and they were dear to God. And souls are so dear to God, souls are so precious. And how we do it makes all the difference. And maybe this is something I'm just learning now. And regarding evangelism, even the recent evangelism over the past couple years on PEI, I wouldn't be surprised if there was 50,000 tracts passed out over the island over the past couple years. And why hasn't there really been any fruit? Why isn't there a dozen people here saved and being discipled because of the word that's shared? And maybe we need to be patient, just keep sowing but my conviction here is maybe there's not enough prayer, my own life regarding this, or how we're doing it. Do I really love these people that we're sharing? Am I willing to impart my own soul to them? Not just share the word with them, but to spend time with them, to impart my own soul. So we think of Jesus having compassion on the multitudes in Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And you think of the hardworking farmer, I don't think there was anybody that worked harder than the Lord Jesus. And that even just during the 3.5 years of his public ministry, we could probably spend our whole lives toiling and not even match up to what he did in those 3 years. But he preached the gospel of the kingdom, went in all the cities and villages, and The preaching is a public proclamation of God's word. It's a heralding of the good news. We know that further on in the letter to Timothy, Paul would say to him, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And then that means preach when there's opportunity. Preach when there's no opportunity. Verse 5 of chapter 4 says, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. But Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and we know Jesus taught a lot about repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. To stop and rethink, change your mind. We're dead. Before a holy God, we are dead. And we deserve God's judgment, and we deserve hell. But praise the Lord, God sent forth his son to be born of a woman, to redeem us. And Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. He was our substitute. Jesus took our place on the cross. God's judgment was carried forth through the Lord Jesus, and Jesus rose again. Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This is Matthew 9. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. And they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then says he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I think in a parallel passage we see that there was a very busy day for the Lord. I know that the story when he heard that John the Baptist was murdered, and he told his disciples to come apart, the saying, come apart lest you come apart. It was a very busy day, and he was trying to take his disciples to get away and to spend some time with them so they may rest. And then the multitudes were coming, and they were tired out. And the disciples would say to Jesus, send them away. But Jesus was moved with compassion, and he didn't give up, and he just kept on going, and he fed them. In John 4, verse 35, Jesus said, say ye not, there are 4 months, then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, that they that sow and they that reap may rejoice together. Herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap on that which you bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and you have entered into their labors. We all can sow. We can all sow the seed. We may not all reap, but I pray that we will reap. I pray that we will reap. I pray that we'll have a view to reap. As Paul would think of the Thessalonians, he'd tell them, you are my glory and my joy. For what is our hope and glory and joy? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus at his coming? And that we may have people in our lives that would in some way, would say by the grace of God through us that they would come to know the Savior. Not that we did anything. It's all the Lord's work, but for his glory. But that, I've been a Christian for 11 years, and I can't really say, there's been any, a harvest, from my ministry. How many souls have I... Anyway, no need to go there. But this is a good book for anyone that struggles with evangelism and sowing the word. It's called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. It's by Mark Cahill. And it's one thing we can't do in heaven is we can't share the gospel with the lost. in heaven. This is our opportunity to share the gospel with the unsaved, is when we're here. And that's why we're here. That's why the Lord is tarrying. The Lord is patient and not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. A few things in this book that, a few points, and he would say that if people are breathing, they need Jesus. And he said, if you're not fishing, you're not following. That's right, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It's kind of a way to tell if you're really following the Lord, as if the Lord has made you a fisher of men. I think Spurgeon would say, have you no desire for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that. Have you no desire for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that. A couple of things that you point out in this book is that he has a good perspective on evangelism, is that it's not a toilsome, it's more of a privilege. He says that he has the attitude of, he gets to do this. He gets to share the gospel. It's an amazing privilege to be able to share the gospel with the lost. And that sharing your faith is always a winning situation. If they accept it, that's great. If they reject it, that's a seed sown. And if you're persecuted, that's great too, because Jesus said, blessed are you that are persecuted for my name's sake. So it's always a winning situation. And none of us, when we see the Lord, are ever going to wish that, when we see the Lord, we will wish we introduced him to more people. When we see the Lord, none of us are going to say, like, we witnessed too much. You can't ever witness too much. We'll always say, we wish we would have done more. And so that's why I want to encourage us all. And tracts is just a great way to always have these handy. You know, even when you're around town, like, to first of all, to just be friendly with people and smile. And just a couple stories. And when you're having a conversation, try to transition from, like, your regular conversation and build trust. Listen to people. And then try work your way to the gospel and speak well of the Lord Jesus. And one time I was at Walmart getting a tire fixed, and there was an older gentleman. He was getting his oil changed in the car, and he was just standing waiting, watching his oil get changed. And so we started talking, and I probably listened to him for like half an hour, 45 minutes on his trips down to Tennessee, and then he was going soon, and about all the restaurants down there. And, you know, I kind of want to go down there too myself after talking to him and trying all this stuff out. But in about after all that, there just didn't seem to be, I wanted to share Jesus with him. Like, I prayed for opportunity to share the gospel that day, and there just didn't seem to be. So I had some tracts on me, and I said, you know what? I said, we've been passing these out this summer. I'd like to give this to you. And so we started talking about what's in it. I started asking, what about 150 years from now? Where do you think you're going to be? And we talked for about a half an hour about the Lord and the things that God has been doing in his life, and that he's had Christians witness to him, and he, you know, it was a great conversation. We left on good terms. We're both glad we met each other, and that's why tracts come really in handy. And there's lots in the back there, and we can get more. You can go online; they're very cheap. You can Google search gospel tracts and find one that you like. And so I want to encourage you that way. And there's CDs, and they're great to give people to listen to in the car. Bob McGregor has a little business card, has the gospel verse on it, has his information and a little 5-line gospel message. You know, he gives to people. And I'll share with you just briefly another story. And sometimes it's easy to transition to spiritual. Like, a guy bought some cross country skis for me, and I don't know, right away, like, he started talking about, like, his father-in-law that passed away. He started talking about death, and so there you go. Just all of a sudden, there's an open door. And it was still a step of faith to share the Lord Jesus with them, but you still kind of get, like, the butterflies in the stomach, but we got to be strong. We got to just do it. And to for the Lord's sake. To sow, and it's related to sowing to the Spirit and serving the Lord. So, sowing to the Spirit and sowing as it relates to our service and witnessing. And in the Bible, it talks about sowing as it relates to our stewardship. And that means what we do with finances. And I have this book here. Personal Financial Stewardship. Grow strong and bear fruit. So root your financial life in the Bible. It's great. I don't ask to borrow it. You have to get your own copy. It'll take me. I'm not going to be done this for a while. But and go to 2 Corinthians 9. Sowing as it relates to our stewardship. Again, these are things that I'm learning myself. And so I'm just sharing with you things that I'm just learning, some things for the first time. So just bear that in mind. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say, he that sows sparingly," and this is, so we don't have time to go through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, but this is all about giving. It's all about financial giving, what we do with our money. Like at the Lord's Supper, when the offering to the Lord. And so, just, you'll have to read that. If you don't believe me, or just read it for yourself and we can talk about it. It says, but this I say, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he that sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And we all know the verse of 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. You know, it's interesting that's in the context of financial giving. There was a man named Ari Laidlaw. Some of you may know, heard of him. He was known for marrying Harry Ironside's sister, and also a very successful business owner. And he would say that it was all of the Lord that his business was successful. He determined early on that he would give a substantial amount to the Lord and his work. And if I read that near the end, that he was giving away 90% and living off 10. And people would say to him, well, if I had all the money you have, I'd give too. And he would say, no, you wouldn't. You know, that's pretty harsh thing to say, but he would say, you're faithful in little, you're faithful in much. And people would say, we can't afford to give. And he would say, can you afford not to give? A few of the notes that I have from this book is that Christ is the creator and sustainer of all. He created everything. He's a sustainer and sustains everything. Christ is the owner and provider of all. He owns it all. It's all the Lord's. Why be a good steward? We will give an account of what we did with the time and with our money for future reward. We're looking for future reward too. It's the hardworking farmer must first be partaker of the fruits, and so there is reward. It's not, You have to think about that. That's part of the. It's part of being a good steward. Like, you're going to be rewarded. The world would have us not be stewards, but consumers. And the meaning of consume, to consume, is to destroy or expend by use, to use up, to eat up, or drink up, to devour, to spend time or money wastefully, consume. The world would have us just be consumers. But God would like us to be a steward, and involves stewardship, involves not only using up some resources, but developing and making others grow as well, so that we, over a period of time, the result of their use leaves something of greater worth than when you started. It's like investing. A steward, the definition of a steward, is one who manages another property or financial affairs. One who administers anything that is as the agent of another. And we're stewards of the Lord. Everything is the Lord's, and God has entrusted to us everything that we have. And it's just an interesting view to have it like that. It's all the Lord's. And we might as well continue talking about biblical giving. And I'm not an expert at this at all. But it's my understanding that the tithing in the New Testament is not commanded for us believers. And that maybe I shouldn't be the one speaking about this, but like, this is just stuff I'm learning, so I'm sharing it with you, and God forgive me and just bear with me. But the tithing in the Old Testament was like our tax system today. They were funding the government of Israel. And the biblical view of giving that we have now is more like the free will offerings that they had in the Old Testament, which is above the tithing. So I'm just saying that we're not commanded to tithe, but we're blessed if we give. And we read that God loves a cheerful giver. You don't give grudgingly or of necessity. Like, if we're going to give grudgingly or of necessity, it's probably better off not to. God loves a cheerful giver. And from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, we're instructed to do it willingly, and that everyone's involved, to do it cheerfully, to do it from what you have. Do it as a sacrifice, as worship, and do it regularly, as from 1 Corinthians 16, 2. There's value and blessings of giving as devotion or worship. Let's go to Philippians 4:18. Giving as a form of worship. Paul again would say, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." It's fellowship. People gave gave money, and I don't know if there's any other things other than money, but the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, as sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God, that it's a form of worship, and God is well-pleased with the sacrifices of our giving. So that's the value and blessings of giving, as devotion or worship, is to help others, from 2 Corinthians 8:4. I can praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You know, it's to help others, and it's to help those in the ministry. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. And it's for spiritual blessing. We'll read that the Lord Jesus' view on giving is quite radical. And in Mark 12, 41 to 44, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, truly I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in, for they cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they did cast out of their abundance, but she did out of her want cast in all that she had, even all her living. It was it's a form of worship. And we're going to just close up here. And so the husbandman that labors, the hardworking farmer, must first be partaker of the fruits. There's a reward for the hardworking farmer. It involves great sacrifice, farming, sowing to the Spirit, sowing in our service, and sowing in our stewardship. It involves hard work, sacrifice, dedication. There's a view of reward, and if we can, we're going to continue on, hopefully. And later on in the chapter, we talk about the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know, all the things we do for the Lord and all the hardships we endure is all going to pay off. The things that we suffer, we're going to have rewards. We're going to be partakers of that fruit. We will. If we can skip ahead just for a verse, Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And we'll continue reading on 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. I wanted to get to verse 13. But so we'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. You're a God of grace. And your grace is that though you were rich, you became poor, that we through your poverty might be made rich. And we are rich. We have all been blessed with all spiritual riches in the heavenly places. Father, help us to sow to the Spirit, to make choices, and that we may not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and these things are contrary. So we may not, so that we do, cannot do the things we would want, we would. And there's always a, whether disappointing the flesh or disappointing the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, and we pray that the flesh should be put to death, because the fruits of the flesh is corruption and death. But the fruit of the Spirit is life everlasting and joy and peace. So, Father, help us sow to the Spirit and help us sow the Word of God in our lives to share and communicate the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that we may speak with grace to with our co-workers and neighbors and whoever you bring along our path. And, Father, help us to be good stewards. As I just starting to learn about what a steward is, and that we'd be faithful, that we would have a greater outcome of our use of our time and money than what we started with, because of your grace and glory. Help us to save souls. We do pray, Lord, and we want to be involved in that work, and so equip us too. And Father, bless your people this evening, and pray these things in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.